Good morning and welcome to everybody worshiping in Woodside. Those watching online, glad we can be together. And I always pray that we just have a spirit of oneness wherever we might be worshiping today. As we continue our series called Life Cycles, I want to invite you to take out your teaching notes. You can follow along there. This series has been really about hearing and responding to God's voice to us in various life cycles from birth until death. And the dream is that as a church, we would be a healthy church, an intergenerational, a multi-generational church where every life cycle counts and where every life cycle is creatively integrated into life and ministry in this given place. Well, today's baby boom generation is becoming the largest aging population in human history. It's a fascinating time. Last year, I got the book called Age Power by Ken Deichwald, widely viewed as the nation's foremost authority on the aging of America. And in the 1970s, he got a rare opportunity in his early 20s to participate in a research, the first ever serious research effort related to aging in America, partly related to the image, the negative imagery of those who are growing old. And he worked with a group of clients between the ages of 65 and 90 who met weekly over a year's period of time to have education, to learn about fitness and nutrition, art and movement. And the results of their study over the course of that year were extraordinary, beyond anyone's expectations. They found that physically rigid 70 and 80-year-old people could become flexible again. They discovered that changing diets enhanced energy and overall health. They discovered that many participants who seemed distant or even mentally dysfunctional were really suffering from terrible boredom. It was boredom. You've heard me say this through the years, and if you're a parent, teach it to your children. Boredom is the result of an inactive mind. And so when your mind gets activated and re-engaged, as it did for many of them, their confidence grew and they became contributors to society in new ways. Some went back to school. Others formed new relationships. Some even fell in love again. What a great thing. And we find that that reality of their journey was important because the wall of negativity toward the aging in the 70s and 80s needed to change. And it has been changing. It is today and will continue to do so. In the 70s and 80s, businesses focused their product development and marketing efforts on the young. And rarely would you see an older adult in popular advertising. Oh, it's really changed, hasn't it? Now, the people in my age group and a little older are pictured in two tubs overlooking an ocean. And it's a beautiful picture in popular advertising, much better than the 70s and 80s. The entertainment industry emphasized a distorted picture of the glory of youth and as well the decrepitude of aging. In fact, Deichwald spoke to it specifically. Quote, he says, "I began to see that we had designed our modern world top to bottom to match the size, shape, and style of youth. From the length of time it takes for traffic lights to change, from the typeface in our newspapers, from the age and the style of the models and advertisements, to our own embarrassment about our birthdays. In thousands of ways, over and over, we were being influenced to like what's young and to dislike what's old." And it's had an amazing impact. So I just want to put a stake in the ground with freedom and joy. Confess to you on this given day, I am 57 years of age and I like it. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Sometimes people who age create the negative imagery more than those of any other generation by having issues over our growing age. But unmistakable demographic forces, increasing longevity, and the aging of the baby boom is triggering this enormous age wave. And the wave is creating vibrant new stages of life as we move into decades that previous generations have never seen. In the past, most people didn't age. They died. They died very young because of infectious diseases and accidents and violence. People who lived to their 40s and 50s were few and far between. To live into your 80s was almost unheard of. But during the last 1,000 years, our life expectancy has climbed from the average age of 25 to 47 at the turn of the 20th century. So until very recently, people were very much likely to die young rather than to die old. And as a result, societies rarely concerned themselves with the needs of the aging citizen. Few people sat around wondering, what am I going to do in retirement? Because few got there. In fact, no one contemplated lifelong learning at age 75. Businesses didn't care about the mature market because there wasn't one. Not in mass anyways. But in the last century, something volcanic has happened. Thanks to sanitation and public health and food science and pharmacy and surgery and medicine and wellness-oriented lifestyles, most of us will age. It's a whole new day. We suddenly are remaining healthy in our 70s and in our 80s. And during the 20th century, the number of Americans who are 65 plus has increased 11-fold from 3 million to 33 million. And by the year 2035, we will see those numbers exceed 70 million, which is more than twice the current population of Canada. It's a whole new day. Time magazine in March featured this changing demographic in a cover of a baby. It looks like a Gerber baby, absolutely beautiful baby. And the caption reads, "This baby could live to be 142 years old." I know some of you are thinking, "No, thank you. Don't want to quite go that long." It's a changing world. And this astonishing age wave is worldwide. It's not just in North America, and it's impacting everything, including the Church of Jesus Christ. And most churches are not paying attention. Our Vision 2020 Task Force identified this aging group as the fastest growing demographic in our own backyard, in our very given community. And we made a decision. We want to be trailblazers. We want to be on the front end of this change process. We want to be a church that says, let's engage and release the gifts of the aging life cycle for significant ministry. There's an urgency to the need and to the opportunity. Let's do something about it. Let's respond. So we decided to do something about it. 1 year ago, we created a full-time position to give energy to this effort and invited one of our own very gifted leaders, Pastor Mark Nelson, to lead the way into the future. We're 1 year under this process of change and focus, and it's an exciting time for us as we look to the future. By the way, this is Pastor Mark Nelson's, in June, and at least this June, is Pastor Mark Nelson's 20th anniversary of serving here at Westwood Community Church. And he's going to give the message today. So welcome, Pastor Mark Nelson, as he leads us today. And the world has changed, and I'm really grateful for your faithfulness and leadership here, as all of us are.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Joel, and thank you for that warm reception. The work that was done by the Westwood 2020 Task Force is really so critically important for Westwood because Westwood is not the same church that it was in 1995. And the Southwest suburbs are not the same as they were 20 years ago as well. And because, as Joel mentioned, of the aging boomers, it is clear that 20 years from now, the Southwest suburbs will not be what they are today, and neither will Westwood. The one thing we can count on is change, and there will be lots of change. Now, I know that I have changed and will no doubt change even more in the years to come. I found this picture of my wife, Elizabeth, and me, taken when we first moved to Minnesota. It's not supposed to be funny. And I know Elizabeth looks the same today, and well, then there's me. And that hair, my goodness. Here's a shot of our three kids, Anne, Luke, and John. John was one when we moved to Minnesota. Anne was six, and Luke was five. And now fast forward 20 years to a shot taken at Luke's wedding this past September, and the Nelsons welcome his new wife, Kaylee, into our family. This is a shot of my parents. My dad, Don, is 83, and my mom, Dale, will turn 80 this August. And if you want to imagine what I'm going to look like 20 years from now, well, just simply take the picture of my father and the picture of my mother and morph the two together, and there you have it. I used to look in the mirror while I was shaving, and I would see my dad staring back at me. And now I see my grandpa. He used to shave with a straight-edge razor, and that absolutely fascinated me. And I can remember as a kid standing next to the sink looking up at him and thinking, "Grandpa, your hair is so white." And then, "Grandpa, your forehead is so tall." And I thought, Grandpa, you have two really big dents on both sides of your forehead. I'm growing older. We are all growing older. But I am here to announce that I'm not the only one. According to Minnesota Monthly in their special report, Future Twin Cities, by 2040, the senior population in the state of Minnesota will reach 21% of the population, and there will be more senior adults in Minnesota than there are children. We are all growing older. That is the reality that we face. But God intends that we do much more than just grow older. He wants us to grow up as we grow older. We all face a basic life challenge. It's possible to grow older without ever growing up. But it is not God's intention for us. Stamped with the image of God at the core of our being, we were created, we were designed, we are wired to grow up and not just grow old. We are all growing older. However, we are not all necessarily growing up in Christ. Time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking into the future, or so the song Fly Like an Eagle by the Steve Miller Band goes. For the most part, we feel like time is working against us. We are all growing older, but we are not all necessarily growing up in Christ. And yet deep down inside of each one of us, there is a sense that we are designed for more than just growing old and then dying. But no matter how much we eat, no matter how much we drink, no matter how hard we try to make merry, we believe that there's more to life than death. We desperately want to redeem the time that keeps ticking, ticking, ticking into the future. We are all growing older. But what if we had the ability to live without the restrictions of time? What if we could grow younger as we grow older, or ever more childlike as we mature? What if we could become more complete as we grow old instead of feeling like we're falling apart? We've got a problem. We are all growing older, and that's a given. But the real tragedy is that we are not all growing up. The Bible speaks to this fundamental human problem. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the infant house church in Colossae, encouraging them not to be distracted from their primary life focus, which was to grow up in Christ, to become complete in Christ. I read his words found in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, 28 and 29. Him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone complete in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his, that is God's energy, that he so powerfully gives. Bible scholars believe that the letter to the Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in a Roman prison, sometime between 61 AD and 63 AD. Paul wrote this letter to the Colossian church because he believed their infant faith was being threatened by two very powerful influences. Paul felt strongly that these influences were holding the young believers back from growing up spiritually and from becoming complete in Christ. The first influence that was holding the Colossians back was that of religion. Rites, rituals, ceremonies, forms of religion, specifically restrictions, circumcision, and worship practices of the Jewish believers. The second influence that was holding the young Colossian church and church back was the mixing in of popular elements from the Greek culture. Their fascination with wisdom and knowledge, their openness to cosmic powers, and their distorted view of the human body all reflected contemporary Greek culture. In his letter, Paul rebrands Jesus as the cosmic Christ, the one mediator in whom dwells all wisdom and all knowledge. In his death and resurrection, all powers of the cosmos are defeated and subjected to him. Paul wants the Colossians to know that any teaching which distracts from the centrality of Christ under the pretense of leading people to maturity and completion is a perversion of the truth and of the faith. According to Paul, if you want to grow up in Christ, don't look to religion, don't look to the world and the ideas of popular culture, look to Christ. Paul knew that it is possible to grow older, but to not grow up. And he wanted the Colossians to stay focused on the gospel, the good news of life and life abundant in Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in the Colossians text, him we preach, or according to the NIV, but we preach Christ. Earlier in his letter, Paul passionately pitches Jesus Christ as the image of the invisible God, the creator, the one who holds all things together. The head of the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, supreme, full of God, and the one who reconciles all things to God, making peace through his body and blood, which was shed upon the cross. Paul says, we preach Christ, the gospel, the good news of the restored relationship of humanity with God. Paul wants one thing to be very clear. His words are for everyone. We see one text with one word appearing three times. Paul pens his words for everyone because his message includes everyone. And Paul has three things for everyone. First, he has a warning for everyone. Don't look to religion. Don't look to the world. Look to Christ. Grow up in Christ. Don't miss it. You were made for it. You will never be happy, content, or complete without it. It is your calling. It is your vocation. It is your destiny. Don't think for a moment that being religious will grow you up in Christ. Simply coming to church won't necessarily complete you in Christ. Don't look to the world for its latest self-help fads to know how to grow older. Look to Christ. Haven't we been singing it all along? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Mother's Day, May 13th, I was seated at the head of the table as I am wont to sit, enjoying a great meal with the family. And I'm looking at the end of the table, and there were the three kids engaged in a fairly stimulating conversation. And I sensed God saying to me, Mark, this isn't all about you. I thought to myself, well, what do you mean it isn't all about me? I'm paying for the food, I'm paying for the phones, I'm paying for the cars, I'm paying for the insurance. It's all about me. Of course it's all about me. Mark, this isn't all about you. And I saw in that moment that my family was growing up. And I sensed God telling me that I needed to continue to grow up as well. Because in order for my family to grow up, in order for my family to soar like eagles, I had to continue to grow up as well. Paul sees the Colossians warning everyone to grow up, and he sees them teaching everyone to grow up. The way that we grow up is by giving ourselves collectively to the teachings of Jesus Christ, to the Word of God, to the Bible, in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 3:18 says this together. Let us read it. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. To grow up, we give ourselves to a teaching. We become followers of a set of concepts and ideas and truths. We become learners. The Bible calls that a disciple. A disciple is one who not only follows a set of teachings, but is also committed to the teacher. To grow up in Christ, we must move beyond forms of religion and the wisdom of popular culture. We must learn the teachings of Christ and commit ourselves to follow him. Paul says it this way. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy, complete in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. The teaching is the gospel, and we are to go about teaching everyone. Paul has an end in mind. In order for us to grow up, there is a warning for everyone. There is a teaching for everyone, and for everyone there is a goal. Paul says, present everyone. Complete. The Greek word is teleos. In Christ. In the original text, the word that is translated here into English as complete is the Greek word teleos. Tel as in telescope, lay as in potato chips, and os as in boss. Teleos is found 19 times in the New Testament and is a word that describes someone perfect. Full grown, complete in all of its parts, of full age. Another word is ripe. The root word tel means reaching the end or final aim. And it is well illustrated with the old sailor's telescope extending out one stage at a time so that it may function with full strength and full capacity to be able to see what is ultimately ahead. Teleos means complete, mature, brought to completion by fulfilling the necessary process. From going through the necessary stages to reach the end goal. The Bible identifies four stages of spiritual growth. However, there is no correlation between a person's age and their spiritual stage. An 80-year-old can be spiritually an infant, and a 20-year-old can be functioning spiritually at the parent stage. Now, everyone loves having a baby around. They're wonderful to hold, the skin is soft, the breath is pure, but a baby thinks only of itself. And when denied the things it desires, it cries. A baby lives to be served and has no capacity to serve, and a baby drinks milk because it cannot eat meat. like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So there is a stage for us to move on to, and that stage is that of a child. This spiritual stage and the remaining two stages are found in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now, I know children are a joy to behold. So much energy, curiosity, as they play, as they learn, as they grow. But children can be emotional. And they can be given to outbursts, especially if they don't get their way. They repeat everything they hear, and when corrected, they often are resentful and make a fuss. So we need to grow on to the next stage. The next stage is that of a young adult. They are strong and have a vision for the future, as well as the faith and courage to tackle it. A young adult works hard to prepare themselves for all that life has in store for them. And the final stage, which is available to everyone, but a stage which few people ever attain, is that of a spiritual parent. A spiritual parent has peace with God and rejoices in their spiritual children. The parent knows the only source of true strength and does not brood over the past, but looks ahead to the future. The parent knows that all things work together for eternal good and enjoys abundant life in the now, as well as anticipates full joy in the life to come. The end goal is teleos, or completion in Christ. Paul concludes by saying, "For this I toil, that I might present everyone teleos in Christ, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me." This is the teleos offering for everyone at Westwood. It's a choice one makes to not just grow older, but to grow up in Christ. There is also a specific teleos offering for adults 50 plus at Westwood that is made up of three distinct groups of people: the boomers, the builders, and the elders. Boomers, as Joel mentioned, are in their mid-50s to 70 and find themselves sandwiched between caring for aging parents and dealing with dependent adult children. Many are experiencing midlife reassessment, reacting to careers that no longer exist, or looking for new paths that they might want to explore. Boomers are interested in health and wellness, and for the most part, will redefine what it means to age and retire. Many will choose to work decades longer than their parents, and some will be forced to. Because of divorce and because of the economic downturn of 2008, many will find themselves short of the resources to retire. The National Institute on Retirement Security reports, among people 55 to 64, the average household retirement savings totals only $12,000. Many are predicting a housing and healthcare crisis 20 years from now. When the aging boomers without financial resource are looking for support because of the breakdown of the nuclear family. According to Barna, the boomers have never been the generation most likely to come to church. During the past 20 years, the percentage of unchurched boomers has risen dramatically, up a full 18 points. Builders and elders are from the silent or greatest generation, and they are those born in the early 40s or early 20s, and through the mid-40s. The Great Depression and World War II caused this life stage group to be particularly small. Physical health and mental wellness determines the quality of life at this life stage. The younger in the silent generation are called builders. They are concerned about maintaining their overall physical and mental wellness. And for those that are in full retirement, life purpose, significance, and meaning are the pressing issues. They're looking for significant relationships, leisure, and travel because they have worked hard all of their lives. The elders are those who are 80 and older in the silent generation. If they have their mind and their health, many today have the ability to function more like builders. But as their health and mental capacities are challenged, and because of their age, they are facing loss, isolation, loneliness, and then ultimately depression. They seek companionship, enjoy sharing their story, and want to finish well by leaving a generational legacy. I am blessed to come from a gene pool that ages well. My grandmother, Signa Marie Bjorklund Nelson, lived to a healthy 98 years. I distinctly remember asking her when she was in her 90s, "Grandma, what is the secret of your long life?" Without a moment's hesitation, she said, "I've eaten bacon and had coffee every day of my life." Several thousand boomers, approximately 500 builders, and a little less than 100 elders would call Westwood their home church. Teleos is a life stage strategy at Westwood designed to use the felt needs of the adult 50 plus to bring them to completion in Christ. We see a multitude of adults 50 plus released into the world, living lives that honor God through reaching people with the love of Jesus. Teleos will give their time, their treasure, and their talent at Westwood in the community and beyond to fulfill the vision, to engage the mission, and to accomplish the purpose of the church. At Westwood, there is a Teleos challenge to help us grow up in Christ. The Teleos challenge asks adults 50 plus to answer two questions and do three things. The two questions are: who is the unique individual that God has created you to be? Get on a path of discovery today. Don't stop until the day you die. The second question is, in light of the unique individual that God has created you to be, what is it specifically that God wants you to do with your life? Get on a path of discovery today, and don't stop until the day you die. The three things the Teleos challenge asks people to do are: participate in worship on a regular basis. Thank you for being here today. Grow and connect in a small group or class, and serve. If you are an adult 50 plus and all you do is occasionally attend worship, if you haven't taken the next step to connect and grow in a small group or a class, if you are not serving in any capacity, then I'm asking you to take the Teleos challenge. To help, this Thursday night, June 4th, from 7 to 8:30 in the Woodside Room, we will be hosting an open house where you can explore options for connecting and growing and opportunities to serve this summer. You'll have the chance to hear about various serve opportunities both here on the Westwood campus, and we will feature ways you can volunteer in one of our partner ministries called Love, Inc. The 2020 Task Force recommended that Westwood consider ways to help with the transportation needs of the senior citizens in our community. At the open house, you'll hear about WeCab of Eastern Carver County, a service that matches volunteer drivers with senior citizens in need of transportation right here in Carver County. I loved my grandpa, and I know that he loved me. But I heard him cuss and swear, but I never heard him pray. I saw him read the sports section in the paper, but I never saw him read the Bible. He drank Tecate from the can, but I never saw him drink communion from the cup. He took me to Las Vegas, but he never took me to church. I saw my grandpa grow old, but I never saw my grandpa grow up in Christ. Don't miss it. You were made to be teleos. You were made to be complete in Christ. Religion won't get you there. The wisdom and the ways of the world won't get you there. Don't just grow old. Grow up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the one that calls. You are the one that forms. You are the one that fashions new life within us. And so, Father, draw us to our ultimate vocation, our ultimate destiny. Lord, empower us in these moments to commit to not just growing older, but to growing up through your word, through your spirit, through the work of your son. Help us, Lord, to grow up in Christ, and in his name we pray. Amen.